welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. You know, I'm so thrilled about today's show, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, what would my family life would have been like? What would that would have been like if we would have known about the A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids, the book that Dr. Jen Berman has put out? I mean, think about this for a minute. If there was an A to Z guide, I mean, a guide that covered everything from what you do and do not do at the dinner table, to anxiety around taking tests, to avoiding labeling, to sibling rivalry, I mean, how would our lives be different? Well, this is a conversation that we're going to bring to you, because there are things that each and every one of us can learn and pass on to people, to our loved ones, and really gain that family cohesiveness, that self-esteem that our children so long for. Dr. Jen Berman is a licensed marriage, a child and family therapist. She's been on Oprah, Today Show, Tyra Banks. She's been on many other programs. And she writes a very popular column for the Los Angeles Family Magazine, and brings this book today. I'm telling you, this is broken down so that you can pick it up and decide who is going to hold the remote control. Thank you so much for joining the show today, Dr. Berman.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
What a fabulous book. I'm telling you, you break this down so that a two-year-old can understand it.
I tried. You know, what I really wanted to do was to create a real readable book, but that was backed by some research and where I share vignettes and where I gave specific tips. And in the A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids, what I did was I narrowed it down to the 26 most important issues that people ask about over and over again in my private practice, when they write me at my column, when I travel the country as a parenting expert. And one is for each letter of the alphabet, and each chapter stands on its own. So busy parents don't have to read the book cover to cover. They can just pick up whatever chapter that they need at that moment and put it down for later.
Well, you know, when we look at these topics, I mean, every single one of them is so important. And yet at the same time, these are difficult conversations very difficult aspects of raising children for a lot of parents.
Yeah.
And they are overwhelmed with what to do and what not to do. How do you guide the people that you work with?
Well, I guide them from a combination of my own experience as a parent, my clinical experience as a therapist. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology and a doctorate in psychology, specifically marriage, family, and child therapy. And I've been writing this parenting column for over 5 years now that's won some awards in parenting and child development. So I've read tons of research. I have a really strong background in child development and education and all of that. But I also know what it's like to be a parent. I have twins. And also I've helped people raise their children for so many years. So it's really a combination of education, experience, and instinct.
I have to tell you, it definitely is that. Let's talk about some of the things that are actually parents' worst nightmares. I mean, you know, there are so many. And nowadays, it seems like the list is growing. But there are clearly some things you point out in this book that we would call or consider mistakes.
Okay. Were there any that you had in mind in particular? Or
I actually have a few that I'd like to talk to you about.
Yes.
Not that I'm talking from personal experience or anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the idea of raising children without making mistakes is probably as, you know, far from reality as one can even imagine. Do you believe that parents are in the stage where they think that they're going to be able to do this without making mistakes?
I think that that's a great question. And, you know, there's so much pressure on parents today, especially mothers, to be the perfect mom, to be the perfect parent, and to never make mistakes. And I talk a lot in the A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids, especially in the self-esteem chapter and the decision-making chapter, that you don't have to be a perfect parent, but you do have to be willing to admit to your kids when you make a mistake and to apologize when you do, because that creates a respectful relationship. And also, that way, when your children make mistakes, they know how to handle it and they know what to do.
Well, isn't that the key? I mean, it's really looking at the situation and knowing when they're there is something that has to be said that, you know, it takes us all to a place of humility. I mean, it is about being humble. A parent or whether you're a child, I mean, this is a place where we all get to show who we are, but at the same time, understand that there are some guidelines. We're going to talk about that when we come back from break. I'm so thrilled to have Dr. Berman with me here today. The book is just an incredible book. It is easy enough to read for every single person out there. You do not have to have a PhD to understand how you can raise happy, confident kids. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we're having a great time opening that book and understanding. Wow.
Sometimes your favorite shows on HealthyLife.net are on when you're busy. Maybe you're working, sleeping, exercising, eating, or meditating and forget to listen to your favorite Healthy Life host. Now there's a solution. You can record or schedule a recording time of any of our radio shows direct to your PC. Then listen on your PC to the show anytime or convert the file to an MP3 and download it to your iPod or MP3 player. The iSound WMA MP3 Recorder 6.57 software offered by Abyss Media is easy to use and affordable for only $29.95. Plus, if you have any problems, you can receive free email technical support. Speaking of technical information and general info on how to order the iSound WMA MP3 Recorder 6.57 software, you can get all of that information right on our website at HealthyLife.net. You don't have to miss your favorite show ever again. Plus, you can download your favorite show and take it anywhere you want. Order the iSound WMA MP3 recorder right from HealthyLife.net today.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works, and other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. I am so totally jazzed to be talking to Dr. Jen Berman today. The book is The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids. Who doesn't want that? You know, Dr. Jen, let's talk about some of the mistakes parents make while raising their children. And yeah, you know, is there a mistake that comes to mind? I'll tell you there's one that does come up.
Sure.
And it is about something you alluded to. It's about telling the truth.
Yeah. And I think it's very hard a lot of the time for parents to tell the truth, especially when the truth isn't pretty, and to find that line, that boundary line. Am I sharing inappropriate information with my kid because I want to tell them the truth? And that other extreme of, am I not telling them something important that they need to know because I'm trying to protect them? And finding that line is always, it's a precarious line, and it's a tough one because you always want to do what's in your child's best interest, but sometimes we get caught up in the moment or our judgment is off, and we share something, and then we go, oh, she wasn't ready for that. I thought that she was developmentally ready, but she wasn't. And that's tough. You know,
it is tough.
Yeah.
Is this a learning experience for both parents and children? You know what I'm talking about?
I often say parenting is an art, not a science. You know, it's not that black and white. There are certain things that are really black and white. You don't abuse your child, period. That's
right.
End of sentence. But there are certain areas where it is gray, where it's hard to know what to do. You know, one of the most common mistakes that I see is parents today who want to be their child's friend, who want to have a different relationship than they had with their parents, which is good, but who go to the opposite extreme, and they abdicate their role as parent by being friend. And, you know, I often think of it as if you are driving on the road, you feel safe because there are laws, there are rules, there are lines on the road, there are stop signs and stoplights, and you know what's expected of you. And if all of that were to disappear, it would be chaotic and terrifying. And it's the same thing in the home. Kids need boundaries. They need consistency. They need to know that you mean what you say, and you say what you mean, and you're going to follow through. For example, you tell your child, don't throw the ball in the house. If you throw the ball, you lose the ball for a day. You come home from work, you're exhausted, you're tired, you're putting food on the table. You just don't have the patience. And your child throws the ball in the house and doesn't break something. And in that moment, it's one of those turning points where it's easier to say, you know what, you didn't break anything, just don't do it again. But in that moment, what you've taught your child, if you choose that route, is I don't mean what I say and say what I mean. The rules here are they're not consistent. Sometimes I'm going to enforce them, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes they're going to apply to you and sometimes they're not. And even though, is it a big deal in that moment? No, it's not. But if you do that over and over again, your child learns those kind of things. And we want to raise law-abiding citizens who feel that the rules apply to them, like you and I were talking about a few moments ago. You know, someone like Paris Hilton, I imagine, probably didn't grow up with consistent rules because she feels the rules don't apply to her.
Well, and this, it's easy to see how this actually transfers and to multiple generations. And we see that over and over again. I think what you just talked about is the consistency factor of being able to say something and be consistent with it is so important. But like you said, people and parents are feeling like their world is just closing in on them. They're busy from A to Z, and you are as well.
Of course.
But here we are, and we're talking about setting healthy boundaries. But the question, one of the questions that I saw in the material was about spanking, and this one I think is probably one of the most controversial aspects of child raising these days.
Well, I'm very against spanking, and all of the research actually shows that spanking is not an effective punishment for children, that while it may extinguish the behavior in the short term, that in the long term, children who are spanked actually don't learn from a spanking. And also, if you think about it, what you teach your child when you spank them is, it's okay to hit someone that you love. It's a real contradiction when, as a parent, if you say, Billy, don't hit Susie, and then you hit Billy.
So, right.
You know, if children obey you out of fear, they don't internalize the messages, and they don't become self-motivated. They become motivated out of fear, and that is not where we want our kids to come from. We want them to come from internal motivation because that's how the lessons stick. That's how we have healthy relationships with our kids where they feel safe coming to us when they have a question or something bad happens to them. And that's what we really want in our relationships with them.
We absolutely do want that. And yet we've had to almost like we had to reverse the spanking behavior,
sure.
You know, because we're bringing forth generations of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's enough information out that where parents are saying, no, that's not okay to do.
And there's so many other tools. You know, when a parent spanks their child, it's a moment of desperation for that parent. It's in my experience, it's a moment where that parent doesn't know what else to do. And often the parent doesn't have the words, the parent doesn't have the tools, and doesn't feel that they have any other options, so they reach out and hit their child. And that's not the way to parent. And if that's something that as a parent, one of your listeners finds themselves doing, then it's time to get some advice from a therapist, it's time to get some parenting classes, it's time to pick up some books. Because most parents that I know who do spank their children don't really want to. Even if they believe in spanking, they don't want to have to do that.
They don't. I totally agree with you, and I know many parents listening to this show today will. And they know, each and every one of us knows when we've been pushed to sort of the brink. And, you know, there's a couple of scenes in movies that are out right now where, you know, there's parent and child walking down a grocery aisle of the store, and I think it's a young boy, takes his hand along the pickle aisle and just immediately starts to knock each jar of pickles into the aisle.
Yeah.
And that's a moment in time where, you know, you see a snapshot of how one reacts. But the question isn't about that moment, is it? Isn't the question really about all the moments that have come before that?
It is, and also, you have to wonder what's going on with that child that they're knocking the pickle jars over, because that sounds like a child who either is angry or, I mean, I don't know the age of the child, developmentally, it's trying to figure out what happens when you push a jar off. And what most parents don't realize is that children oftentimes do something because developmentally they're curious. What happens if I do A? what's a bee? I don't know. I've never seen bee before. So, you know, a lot of the time, parents get in situations where their children are having meltdowns or they feel like their kids are acting out because either developmentally they're doing something that's age-appropriate, even though obviously it's not okay to knock pickle jars off the shelf in the market. That's not okay. But it's up to us to teach our kids that because until we've told them that, they don't know. And really young kids don't have the ability to remember what we've told them in terms of those things. They are led by their impulses. And it takes time for children to have that, you know, what Freud called the superego, but to have that ability to know what's appropriate and what's not. That takes time and experience. And also parents, a lot of the time, don't realize that their expectations of their child aren't fair. For example, I'm in a restaurant. It's 9 o'clock at night. The 5-year-old next to me is having a meltdown at the other table because that parent didn't realize, I can't expect my 5-year-old at 9 o'clock at night, which is way past her bedtime, to behave in a restaurant. And, you know, those are parents who are probably desperate for a night out, and they ended up standing in line for the restaurant for longer than they expected. It took longer to get the food, and they were hoping their child would just fall asleep. But a child can't be expected to behave well at 9 o'clock at night at a restaurant, and it's not fair for a parent to then hold it against that child and in turn to spank them or even to punish them because that child shouldn't have been in that situation.
Well, and, you know, part of what you talk about in this book, I love, you know, as I read this book, I realize that it's never too late to implement some of the things you have in here.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of parents that will, you know, be looking at it and say, oh, my kid's old now, you know, in the teens. I mean, why do I want to do this?
Sure.
But you outline opportunity after opportunity in the book
for
getting together with the kid. One of the things I was really blown away by was this sharing wash-up time. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think kids just generally hate to brush their teeth at night before they go to bed.
But if it's part of a wind-down ritual to prepare them for sleep, and mommy and daddy participate, and it's a connected family time, they're more likely to be up for it. You know, if you have fun music playing in the background that maybe even your child got to pick, and your family is being together, that time can change. The feeling about, oh, I hate to brush my teeth can change because it's connected.
Exactly.
You know, have a conscience who can brush their teeth for longer.
All right. You know, I want everybody to know I'm talking with Dr. Jen Berman here. The book is just absolutely fabulous, The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids. As a matter of fact, I have 3 friends getting ready to have children, and I'm getting ready to get each of them a copy of this book, like, immediately.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
It is, because you know what I love about it? You've mentioned this early on. The book is grounded in research. I see your citations all through the book. And at the same time, it's written in a way that anyone could do it. As a matter of fact, this is kind of a book that I wouldn't be afraid to sit down and share with the child.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I really wanted to.
I mean, it is. Now, here is the pivotal question, I think, for many people listening to this show, and it's the old television thing. I know, you know, this is probably one of the most difficult decisions for parents to make.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in this electronic world. How does anybody know how to figure this out?
Well, I have developed some pretty strong views about television, and to be honest, my views have surprised me because I grew up with the television in my room. You know, in the early 70s, I woke up a few too many times way too early, and my parents said, watch cartoons, here's a TV, we'll put it in your room. But it was a different age in the 70s. The television that's on right now is so different, and children are averaging 38 hours a week of watching television. That's a full-time job, and what most parents don't realize is that when they put their child in front of the television, you know that glazed-out look that they get on their faces? Well, their metabolic rate is slowing down by 12%, and for obese children, it's slowing down by 16%. And there's so much more I want to talk to you about on this issue, but I know that we're running out of time before the break. But there's a really strong link between television viewing and obesity.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back, because I want to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I have been an advocate to abolish obesity in general, but especially with our children. I've done several shows, talked to Richard Simmons and other folks, and this is such an important issue. I'd like to hear your perspective on it. And more importantly, Dr. Jen, what parents can do about this? We're going
to
take a short break. When we come back, we'll be back with the Dr. Pat show. If you want to find out more about this, this is really great. Go to Dr. Jen Berman's website, www.drjenn.com, and check it out.
Can a credit card be used for positive change? The Enlightenment Card has and is established with over 1,100 socially conscious reward partners. Whether your points are redeemed to support a charity, to further personal growth in a workshop, retreat, or yoga class, or if you've used points to buy organic products, now you can rest assured knowing your monies and reward points are going to support those companies who are working to make a difference in the world. Join the community at EnlightenmentCard.com.
Is your soul searching for more? Are you ready for greater spiritual enlightenment? CMS, the College of Metaphysical Studies, is the planet's largest source of metaphysical and spiritual growth. CMS, the leader in the field of metaphysical studies, is dedicated to the service of humankind, offering distance learning courses and free resources. Follow your spiritual path and join the great adventure at cms.edu. That's cms.edu.
Can a credit card be used for positive change? The Enlightenment Card has and is established with over 1,100 socially conscious reward partners. Whether your points are redeemed to support a charity, to further personal growth in a workshop, retreat, or yoga class, or if you've used points to buy organic products, now you can rest assured knowing your monies and reward points are going to support those companies who are working to make a difference in the world. Join the community at EnlightenmentCard.com.
We are in a new age of discovery. In the past, science strived to understand physical matter. In the new age, science will strive to understand the energy that creates matter. In the past, all dietary supplements nourish the body. In the new age, dietary supplements will focus on the energy that creates your body. The future is here. Learn about our natural monatomic minerals from Harmonic Enterprises. Move with us to the new age. Call us at 888-667-4300 or visit harmonicenterprises.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Laptops, digital cameras, I need batteries.
DuracellDirect.com always has special offers.
Cellular telephones, cordless phones, I need batteries and adapters.
DuracellDirect.com always has discounts and a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Camcorders, I need batteries, adapters, and chargers.
DuracellDirect.com, satisfaction guaranteed, 1-year warranty and free shipping.
DuracellDirect.com?
DuracellDirect.com for all your battery, adapter, and charger needs.
Find them on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. DuracellDirect.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. You know, I'm so thrilled to have Dr. Jen Berman, and you will have to bring her back because this is a very big conversation. This is a huge conversation. You know, raising children in this day and age for some people is a full-time job, and at the same time, is as confusing as many people have thought it would be. And the reason so is because times have changed. Things have gotten more complicated. But Dr. Jen Berman breaks this down into ways that we get it. Let's continue the conversation that we were having, Dr. Jen, about obesity and about television, because this is really important for folks to understand.
I think that there are three key issues, and I address all of them in my book, The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids. One is television / media. The other is exercise, and then the other is actually food. And what we were talking about earlier was most parents don't realize when they turn on the television, the study showed that their child's metabolic rate slowed down by 12%. For obese children, their metabolic rate slows down by 16%. Then if you allow your child to eat while watching television, the studies show that people eat, and this counts for adults too, 8 times more food while watching television because we tune out our body's natural cues. We're so busy being entertained that we stop listening to our body, which is one of the most important skills for kids to have when it comes to obesity. Then the other issue is exercise. And we have such sedentary children because they are busy watching television. They're playing computer games. They're playing video games. They're listening to their MP3 players, and they're not moving. They're not out playing the way a few generations before them were. And I have a whole chapter in the A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Confident Kids all about teaching your child to love exercise. Another chapter that I have is the A chapter. A is for apple, how to help your child have a healthy relationship with food. And I see generally two kinds of overweight children in my practice. One is children who are being fed a lot of high-calorie, high-fat foods, and that's kind of an obvious one. And usually it's because the parents don't have proper nutritional information, or they're just so busy and exhausted that it's easier to just, you know, go to the fast food restaurant or heat up a frozen dinner without reading the ingredients or the nutritional content. And then the other is the opposite extreme. It's actually parents who are so afraid their children will become overweight that they tell their children, you don't eat fat, don't eat carbs, don't eat this, don't eat that. And unknowingly, they start to create children who develop eating disorders and who don't know how to handle what I call fun foods, because I really don't like talking about junk food or having negative connotations with food, that with higher calorie, higher fat dense foods, these kids don't know how to behave. So they find themselves going over to their friends' houses and binging on these foods or hoarding them and hiding them in the house because they become this forbidden fruit.
Well, this is certainly a conversation that parents can't avoid, and yet parents do avoid the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely.
And not necessarily set the example.
And yeah, and that's a tough one too. And kids need to be taught and ask questions early on about food, like how does your body feel now that you've eaten that piece of chicken? How does your body feel now that you've eaten that piece of cake? Do you feel tired? Does your tummy feel full? You know, how's your energy? What do you feel? So kids start to make the connection between what I eat and how I feel. And also that parents let their children listen to their bodies, that they allow them to eat when they're hungry and stop when they're satisfied, and don't make them clean their plate, because that disconnects the child from their body's natural cues. Their body's natural cues are the key to avoiding obesity.
You know, there's another conversation that parallels this, and I wanted to talk to you about it. I know we don't have a lot of time left here, but I did want to bring it up. And many people are looking at the generation that are coming into being now, the 18-year-olds, and they're calling them the Ritalin generation. I mean, that's a kind word. I mean, there are other categories and labels we're putting on children. But these kids call themselves the Ritalin generation.
Sure.
And how does the conversation of ADD and ADHD and all of the Ds fit in here?
Well, I think that parents have to be educated themselves. And I also think that parents need to question diagnoses that they get from schools and really make sure that they get a diagnosis from a professional for a number of reasons. ADD and ADHD is very overdiagnosed right now. And, well, I completely believe that there are many, many cases of valid diagnoses. A lot of the time schools have a high-energy kid that they don't know how to handle, and it's easier to drug them into submission than it is to learn how to deal with a high-energy kid. You know, there is a lot of ADD, and actually a lot of researchers believe now that today's quick images on television make children, especially infants who are exposed to television early on, more likely to get ADD and ADHD because they believe that the quick images actually may be rewiring children's brains. So the American Academy of Pediatrics says no television before the age of 2, and I really encourage parents to listen to that because it really is a great suggestion. And while it makes our lives a little bit more difficult, I would rather see a child put in a pack and play with some toys than in front of the television.
Well, you know, Dr. Jen, you and I can talk for probably a good couple of hours here. I love what you've done. I love the book you've put together. And, you know, your message is so clear, so powerful, and is grounded in research, and I love that as well. As we close this segment of the show, I would love for you to give a personal message to our listeners.
Well, I just really am hoping that this book helps parents become happier, more confident parents, because like I mentioned, parenting is an art, not a science, and as much as we love our children, parenting is a tremendous burden. It's a burden to role model, it's a burden to teach our children every day, and I hope that this book is a helpful tool in doing that.
Well, I want to thank you. Let's give out your website again for everyone listening.
It's drjen.com, but spelled out drjen.com. And I also do have a newsletter, and in the newsletter I always have links to my monthly column, that's a parenting column.
Well, this has been such a great conversation with you. There are many, many things covered in this book, including talking to our children about money, thanks, and much more. So, Dr. Jen, thank you so much for joining the show today, and I look forward to the next time you and I can speak.
Me too.
All right, everyone. We're going to take a short break right now.